and welcome to our recap of Converge 2021. So it's been an action-packed few days. There were 4 days of Converge, a lot of content, too much to few in the limited time we have. So I'm here with my colleague and friend Ryan. So Ryan, what did you find interesting in Converge? What were your topics? What was interesting to see? How did it feel the event?
That's a great question. Thank you. It's interesting. I have to say I'm really impressed by how it's organized. If you also compare it to last year, you can really see Citrix have invested in also the portal and really listened to the feedback based on the previous edition. And actually, Pat Patterson also explained that what they did with the feedback, and it's really showing it in this year's event. So, like you mentioned, that a lot of content, too much at least for my schedule, unfortunately. So, but luckily, the sessions are still watchable on demand, and I think it's a great event.
What I find very good was that the portal that they had, the interaction you could have with the attendees, you could meetings, you could set up meetings, you could talk during the sessions. There was a live chat in the session, and if you look at what we did the previous Converge, the conversation was more in Slack and it was more different places. So yeah, they really listened to the feedback we all gave, and also the length of the event. The last time it was 2 weeks. Had also said in his kickoff 2 weeks was too long for him, and I can imagine that, being on call for 2 weeks, hosting, fixing an event with everything that's running in the background. That must be one hell of a job. So 4 days, I can imagine, is long enough. So so that's really cool. Indeed, yeah. Looking at, there were different topics. So we had application delivery and security. There was some business development, virtual apps and desktop, and some work solutions. So there were a lot of tracks to cover. So attendees could also look at what fits their schedule best or fits their interest. So that was cool. So when you look at the keynote, that was one of the things I for myself already watched and found very interesting. And there were some interesting things to mention there.
Especially. And of course, it was really nice to see Christian Riley on screen again. So it's always a pleasure to listen to him. But the big announcement of the community licenses, it's... I can share that at least in the CTP community, it's been a recurring topic, and I know that a lot of CTPs really put a lot of effort in to accomplish this. So this is, I think, a huge achievement, and it's great to see.
Kudos to you all in the CTP channel. I'm a CTA, so I myself wasn't involved, but it's cool to see that. And one of your CTP colleagues was on the keynote and explained a lot about it. So it's been a long run, according to Pat. They started in February with this, but finally we have something that we can pilot. And so for everyone that's watching, the pilot is a public pilot. So you can everyone can apply for it. It's not only for the CTP or the CTA or whatever, or Citrix-owned personnel.
We'll share a link somewhere
on YouTube, link in the description below. Click like and subscribe. Yeah. But so everyone can apply, and it's really cool. So the idea behind the community license is you can, there's a certain amount of money you need to pay, but then you get a lot of licenses for free, including the CFET premium, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, premium, the premium edition.
So that's cool. You get all the bells and whistles.
Indeed. But I'm actually quite curious because you also are a speaker on Converge. So how was the best session on Citrix Converge?
The only thing I can say, it was a life-changing event. looking back at, during the pandemic, we did all everything remote, and the world is opening up a bit now. So in a few weeks back, I did a session at the Dutch Citrix User Group, the local CUGC in the Netherlands, and that was with an audience, and that was so cool. It was so cool to stand in front of an audience and get the feedback and the interaction from the audience. And one of the things that I found difficult in recording my session for Converge is, okay, you get a time slot. You get, okay, if it has to be 25 minutes, that's the time cap we got.
Yep. I didn't achieve it.
But hey, you tried. Yeah. And when you look at the session I had, it had to fit in the 25 minutes. There was a 2-week gap between the speaker briefing and delivering the session in the correct format. So that also gave some stress on my end, getting the slide deck ready, practicing my talk and all the takes and getting the material, I need to order a full HD cam. I did not have that one. So that was, all those things need to be done in a short period of time. So it gave some stress, but hey, it worked. But the main thing that I found is, well, I'm sitting in my office recording to a webcam, and then well, when you do a thing live and you make a joke, you get interaction from the crowd. So now you make a joke and it's just like nothing happening, so just hoping. For example, you also did a session, but you did it together with Elcho, so then at least you can spitball off each other and make each other laugh. But
indeed you're making fun of me most of the time.
It's one of his trademarks. Yeah. But for me, doing a session alone, talking to a webcam for 25 minutes and then hoping the story would stick, will stick, is not ideal. But hey, it's better than nothing. And
but you did get some feedback in the chat.
Yeah, there was some feedback during the session, during the event, was cool. And some guys talking to each other in the chat. So it was good to see that the platform Citrix had set up for that was doing what it was intended to do and keeping people engaged.
Yeah.
So, but I did a session, you and Elcho did a session, and you were doing it together. So how did you get everything up and running in the correct timeline?
Also this one, I didn't make it. So the deadline was the thing. So it's an improvement point for the next event. Give a little bit of time because we did a talk about scripting versus programming. So it's basically a next iteration of the previous session that we did. But we also talked about C# and Go. I didn't have any code of C# and Go, so I had to program everything in 2 weeks while also doing stuff at my customer. So I didn't make the 2 weeks, but at the end, we got the session done, and I actually also show it to during my Tribe kickoff, and I got some cool feedback on it. So and the interaction, of course, on the platform was...
Yeah, so you learned a lot of new coding in the last few weeks, or is it Go something that's up in your sleeve now already? That's something you can do?
It's a new experience, but you just have to go with it.
insert joke here, okay.
Yeah, but... I think the best source is Stack Overflow, of course, and copy-pasting.
But I saw your session, and what I found cool is you just did four ways of doing the same in different code just to show the differences.
Exactly.
And it was really cool to see that. That PowerShell is this much, and then when you go into the Go, it's really getting big a lot.
It didn't fit the window anymore, so we had to break it down.
It was cool to see a cool session.
Indeed,
so that being said, do you have anything else regarding Converge that you want to share with our audience?
I really, really hope that that next year we're going to have an in-person event, because like you also mentioned, I also had another event actually also during the same week of Converge, but it was an in-person event. I really miss seeing and interacting with people in this setup. So time will tell, but hopefully next year and the next conference will be an in-person where we can just also drink a beer afterwards, because I really miss drinking the beer together.
Sometimes you need an excuse to drink a beer. You're preaching to the choir. But
Exactly.
I think kudos are for Citrix for delivering a platform that gives the opportunity to do some networking, or albeit remote, but it at least gives them, you can reach out to someone and then you can interact with them. So they did that. That was really cool. And for everyone, the platform will stay online for a bit, I think, and at least all the sessions will still be watchable. So for me, this weekend will be viewing some sessions that are on my list to watch, and hopefully add some new things to this podcast in a later moment. But for now, Ryan, thanks for your time. I hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you.
And, we'll talk again soon. So cool. I'm here with my friend and colleague Chris. Chris is our chief hackathon officer for this Converge. So Chris, what can you tell us about the Citrix Hackathon?
Yeah, so there again is a Citrix Converge Hackathon, like all the other Converge before it. And this time I think Citrix has done it really big. They are amazing prizes. There are multiple categories and stuff. So let's get let's talk a bit about what they are doing. So this year there are two different hackathons, I think. That's how I see it, at least.
Yeah.
So there's one hackathon just with a few where they have set up teams. So you have a theme on which you are free to create something, do something creative, think of your own solution. And then there is another part of the hackathon. So that's what I mean with two hackathons. And that is really a scripting challenge. So there are set scripting challenges, all with PowerShell. And they all have to do with the remote SDK. And there are set challenges that you need to solve with PowerShell. And there are three different kinds of difficulties. And then for each difficulties, they have a set price. And these prices are cash prices. So the highest difficulty, if you come in first, so you deliver the best code, you can win up to $1,000. I think it's a gift card. So $1,000 Amazon gift card. Mm-hmm. So that's amazing, right? So just by creating solving a PowerShell issue. And I have checked them out, of course, a little bit. And they are pretty doable. So okay. I myself, I'm not going to enter. I'm part of the CTP program. And some of the CTPs are being judges of this competition. So I myself am not entering of that reason. But I have checked them out, and I think, well, if you are a bit smart in PowerShell, it won't be too difficult to win some money. So I would really advise anyone watching this and knowing a little bit about PowerShell to check out those cool scripting challenges. Nice. Then the other part of the hackathon is kind of like what they did in the past already. So they have set teams. So let's quickly go over those teams. It is securing the unbound workspace. So that is, in my mind, really about Citrix ADC, Endpoint Manager, combining some of that cool stuff. Then providing access to anyone, anywhere, can also be a part ADC, can be a part virtual apps and desktops, can be a part whatever. And then the other team is the future of work, which is really, and I think they did a great explanation. It's really at looking at the world has changed. Citrix has, of course, changed. They went from the published desktop vendor to now the workspace portal vendor. The world is changed with COVID and working from home. So how are things that you did in the office now going from home, and how are you going to do them more efficient? So think about also mental wellness, doing things smarter and better, having interaction with your colleagues. So that is one that is really cool. And that's the one that is also that we are focusing on in the hackathon. Roberts is again competing.
Ooh, nice.
And the last team is reimagining hybrid work with Podio and Micraps. And that is really all about creating own applications with a Podio backend and a micro app front end in the portal. So it's, as many of you have maybe seen, Citrix has a preview now, also tech people live of some quick actions that look like MicroApp, but use Podio in the backend in the workspace. And this is kind of an extension of that to see what can you do by combining those two products.
Nice.
And for this part of the hackathon, they have some amazing prizes, I have to say. I'm really impressed what they are doing. So for the top three teams, the first prize is a MacBook Pro with the M1 chip in it. The second prize is the newest iPad. And the third prize is a Raspberry Pi personal computer kit. So those are really amazing prizes, especially I myself. I'm lucky. I already have a MacBook Pro M1, and I love it. I know you have an M1 MacBook too, and you love it too.
Yep.
So that is definitely worth the effort to put some time into that to get such a great prize. I think this is the best prize to date. The MacBooks and the iPads are both awesome, and the Raspberry Pi too. There is a special extra prize for the best Podio and MicroApp integration, and that is a $200 gift card. So
that's also nice. That's also nice. All prices are nice. Wow.
Yeah, they're insane. It's good to know that each member of your team gets a MacBook. So it's not that just you have to share one MacBook with the whole team. And a team can have four members.
Okay.
So that's a maximum of four MacBooks, so four iPads, or four Raspberry Pi. So
yeah, but if you're in a company, you can have more teams.
Yes. So, indeed, if you have a big company and more than four people want to join, you can have multiple teams.
Cool. And can you tell us a bit about our submission?
We are at the moment really hard at work at our submission. So the team that we choose was the future of work. That is something that is really close to Raw Work and our mission one. And in the last two hackathons, we have showed that we can onboard and create a completely new user with MicroApp. Then we show that the user can work. In workspace, we show that they could order a laptop, then get the laptop, then sign into workspace, then answer Twitter messages, send LinkedIn messages. We had a fictive communication employee who could do her full job already directly from the workspace and with MicroApp. So, what's the challenge then?
Yeah, exactly.
Actually. That was, I think, our biggest brainstorm from, okay, so the future of work, we can again make like 10 or 20 or 30 MicroApps that let you do more and more with applications. But we wanted to look at some, we wanted to look at some other aspects of work.
Mm-hmm.
So like with mental health nerves, and how do you gain knowledge when you are working at home? So these are the things that we are focusing on. So we are not really focusing on integrating more applications into the MicroApp, but making some stuff, to be a little bit descriptive, making some stuff that you normally did another way, now do it with a MicroApp and do it from home so that it fits the future of work.
Nice. Nice. Can't wait for it to be finished, so we can view the end product. So
me too.
So besides the hackathon, you also did one of the sessions on Monday, the future of digital workspaces in automation, together with Sasa Petrovic. Can you tell us a bit about that session?
Yeah, sure. So that session was really about more of the end users. So, and more about business consulting and how businesses are viewing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think one cool story that is in the presentation is something I have noticed at the company, that the company had hired or had an internal department called Department Data. And they were doing smart things with Power BI, and they were building Power Apps with that data. And then on the other side, there was a department IT, and they were building micro apps. And they weren't communicating with each other. So IT had no idea what kind of line of business power apps they were creating, and the department data had no idea what kind of micro apps IT processors were creating, or what micro apps for IT processors the IT department was creating. So that just shows that even a smart company that is doing all this stuff, it has not found the connection yet. There is still such bad communication between IT departments and line of business that that needs to stop. And what we now have done with this company is with embedded page within micro apps, we can embed a power app in a micro app. So they first, the users were going to the Workspace portal, then clicking on apps, then clicking on the power app portal, and then clicking on the power app. And now they're just going to go to the action bar, the micro app action bar, and directly click on the power app. And it starts in the web browser, in the micro app format, and it works great, although it is a power app.
Yeah, exactly. So, but for the user, it still has one workspace.
Yeah, for the user, it's no better. They don't have a power app workspace and a micro app workspace. They just have their workspace where everything is. And that was such a small step to embed that. To create an embedded micro app is like 5 minutes work, and it's a better user experience for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that has to land at our customers.
Yeah.
To look, how can we integrate stuff? And even we at Roberts, we are still with customers a lot of the time busy with automating and creating micro apps around IT processes and not line of business.
No. We have some customers that are bridging the gap, so to say, but most of them are still two islands with a boat in between.
Yeah. And we can automate all those IT processes, but we can also automate all the line of business processes. And that needs to happen more and more. And luckily, we are starting and talking with that with our customers, but it has to happen more, especially if we look to the workspace in 2025, 2030. Everything must be connected. Mm-hmm. Everything must be a lot smarter. And this is the place that we start. So that was our session, was about all those kinds of stuff and showing those gaps.
Yeah. So that's something we can highly recommend to view if you haven't already seen it. So, and one small last question about how do you think the, I added this talk also with Ryan about the portal, the attendee portal and the recording process of the online event. How did you feel that was going?
I must say I do like the Converge portal. I think it's cool that you have the agenda. You can have the questions there. You can view the sponsor booth. Please view our sponsor booth of Rowers, of course. Only thing I had was they are launching the presentations at set times.
Yeah.
So they're launching the video. So most presentations you see at Converge are pre-recorded videos, and they're launching those at set times, and then afterwards you can just watch them back. If it's set times, why not do it live? That's the only thing that I rather had done my session live. I think that is cooler and more interactive to the questions and stuff. But yeah. I also get it. It is a worldwide Congress, and I would not be happy to do my session live at 1 a.m. in the morning or something.
That would make for good TV, no?
No, so I do get, I think it's mainly because of that. So I think if it wants to be like a European event, we could all just do it live, but it's a world event. So.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, all right, so thanks for your time, Chris, and we'll hope to speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye.
All right.